Hello, and welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, where we're always talking about big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. I'm your aptly named host. Last week, our big ideas were prospect research on women donors and learning lobbying limitations. For the Women Donors segment, Samantha Cohen of the American Civil Liberties Union was with me, and she revealed how to reveal the giving potential for your female prospects that's often hidden. And that was the last of my pre-recorded interviews from the Association of Fundraising Professionals New York City Chapter Fundraising Day last June. And the second segment was Learning Lobbying Limitations with our legal contributors Jean Takagi and Emily Chan. They're with me every month. And last week, they explained the limitations on lobbying by nonprofits. What activities are lobbying? How much of it can you do? And how do you report it? This week, we're engaging employees. Corporate employees can make gifts to your nonprofit, of course, but they can go a lot further as well. Deshelle Dorsey, Senior Managing Director for Corporate Social Engagement at Changing Our World, will share her smart ideas on soliciting and closing companies for mentoring, pro bono service, board membership, service sabbaticals, loaned executives, and a lot more. And then PR2, Prospect Research, Proactive or Reactive. Our regular contributor, Maria Semple, the Prospect Finder, who you'll always find at theprospectfinder.com, will explain the differences between the two ways to do your research and how to determine which is right for you, proactive or reactive. Between the segments, on Tony's Take Two at roughly 32 minutes after the hour, have you ever done a favor for someone and then felt that they let you down in some way? I'm going to talk about my blog post this week, which is I'll Pick Your Brain and Drop Your List. We're going to take a break, and when we return, then I'll be joined by Deshelle Dorsey, and we're going to talk about engaging employees. But I want to let you know, we're live tweeting this show. Use the hashtag NonprofitRadio, and you can join the conversation on Twitter. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Welcome back to the show. I'm joined now by Deshelle Dorsey, and we're going to talk about engaging employees. Deshelle is Senior Managing Director for Corporate Social Engagement at Changing Our World, a fundraising consulting company. She previously worked for TCC Group, where she provided a variety of consulting services to corporate citizenship programs and nonprofit organizations. Her clients there included Prudential, the Gap Foundation, and Henry Street Settlement in New York City. She's based in Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm very pleased to welcome Deshelle Dorsey to the show. Hi, Deshelle.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm doing very well. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. I want to remind listeners that we are live tweeting the show. Use the hashtag Nonprofit Radio to join us on Twitter. Deshelle, we're talking about employee engagement, but individuals make up the largest portion of total giving. So why should nonprofits be looking at companies, corporations?
Well, corporations are committed to being good citizens in their community, which essentially means they want to be actively engaged in helping to address issues that not only would directly affect their employees, but affect the places where they have operations. So it's a nice opportunity for corporations to play a significant role in making sure where they operate are vibrant and lively.
And do you know what portion of total giving is from corporations?
Yeah, it's generally about 10 to 12%, I believe, of total giving every year. And certainly that fluctuates, but it's been pretty consistently at that level. So, Tony, you're absolutely right. The majority of cash contributions in particular come from individuals. But corporations do make a significant investment as well.
Okay, yeah. And 10 or 12%, I mean, that's nothing to laugh at. So,
absolutely.
And it can go beyond ways that a lot of individuals can give. And that's what we're here to talk about. So we're talking about employees in companies, right? I mean, companies are encouraging or maybe even creating incentives for their employees to be engaged with nonprofits.
Yes, absolutely. There's a variety of different ways that employees can get involved, and I think what most nonprofits are familiar with is certainly just the general assistance that a nonprofit might have, some common sort of community-based activities, such as, you know, going to your local food bank and helping mm-hmm. to pack packs or stock shelves or maybe cleaning up a local park. But there are a variety of other ways that companies have looked to incentivize their employees to get out there. You know, they have matching gifts programs. Sometimes employees are just super busy, and maybe they can't go out in the community, but a matching gift provides an opportunity for an employee to give some resources and double that gift because the company would match that contribution.
Right. Okay. And that's on the fundraising side. Mm-hmm. And we want to go beyond fundraising. And in fact, I polled our listeners before the show and asked, are your corporate solicitations limited to financial gifts and sponsorships? And 100% of the people who answered said, no, we go broader than just financial gifts. So we want to talk about the broader stuff. So what are some of the other ways, and then we'll go into detail on a bunch of them, that people can, employees can be, might be engaged beyond fundraising?
Right. And that's really great to hear that nonprofits are actually exploring all the alternative ways that they can get support from a company. Some of the more common ways would be board service. A lot of companies will look to place their senior managers and some of their higher-level executives on boards and serving in leadership roles on those boards. Some of the other things that have come to fruition more recently over the past 2 years are things like pro bono service or skills-based volunteering. And this is a little bit different than a typical, you know, paint a school cafeteria project. You're really looking at opportunities where you can take the employee's skills and apply it to a challenge or an issue that a nonprofit might have. So, for example, you know, if a nonprofit needed help with their human resources activities and building out, you know, a talent management program, then the company has those skills and they can apply them to the nonprofit.
So this is sort of the company seeing its employees as assets beyond the contribution they make in the workplace, but seeing them as assets for charitable giving using their talents.
Absolutely. And there's more and more of that happening. We see a lot of work being done in the environmental space in that regard. So, you know, a company that might have skills in logistics or transportation can help a company, you know, help a nonprofit think through how to be more efficient in their processes, for example, or thinking through how they might better use water if that's a part of their mission when you look at sort of food-related organizations. So there's a variety of ways that companies are doing it. The pro bono piece is something that's exploding pretty significantly.
Yeah.
But it's also a harder type of project to implement because that there's more onerous on the nonprofit to be engaged in that kind of process.
And we have just a minute before our first break, Deshelle. Just how would a nonprofit identify the companies that it should be targeting or soliciting?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. One is you want to look at what your mission is and how that might align with the company. And then you certainly want to explore companies that are much more transparent than they have been in the past about the ways in which they use their volunteers or their corporate volunteers. And so they can go to their websites often and see listings of the variety of ways in which employees can be activated in the community.
Okay. And it might also be based on location, too, right? You want to look where... What's local to you? Because we're not talking about just big companies doing this type of social engagement. Okay, we're going to talk more about that right after the break. We'll pick it up there. We'll take this break, and then, of course, Deshelle Dorsey will stay with me. We'll keep talking about engaging corporate employees.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Hi, this is psychic medium Betsy Cohen, host of the show The Power of Intuition. Join me at talkingalternative.com Mondays at 11 a.m. Call in for a free psychic reading. Learn how to tune into your intuition to feel better and to create your optimum life. I'm here to guide you and to assist you in creating the life that you deserve. Listen every Monday at 11 a.m. on TalkingAlternative.com.
Are you feeling overwhelmed in the current chaos of our changing times? A deeper understanding of authentic astrology can uncover solutions in every area of life. After all, metaphysics is just quantum physics, poetically expressed. I am Montgomery Taylor, and I offer lectures, seminars, and private consultations. For more information, contact me at Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at rljmedia.com.
Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
Lively conversation.
Top trends.
Sound advice.
That's Tony Martinetti.
Yeah, that's Tony Martinetti.
Nonprofit radio. And I'm Travis Frazier from United Way of New York City.
And I'm Michelle Walsh from the U.S. Fund for UNICEF.
Welcome back to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. We're live tweeting. Use the hashtag Nonprofit Radio. If you have a question for Deshelle Dorsey, you can also call 877-480-4120. I don't know. The phone seems so 1977. We have the hashtag. Use the hashtag for Pete's sake. The phone seems so jejun. Okay, Deshelle Dorsey. Right before the break, we were talking about small companies being involved in this. I mean, so they're also seeing their employees as assets for charitable giving, right? This is not only for IBM and Google.
Absolutely. And I would even venture to guess in many cases, because the smaller companies may not have the sort of cash resources that a larger company might have, they would even be more apt to sort of offer their employees. So you have law offices, you might have local facilities, small mom and pop, chain stores and things of that nature, would be more than happy to get involved and be a part of what nonprofits are doing in the community and leveraging their employees to get engaged.
And another way, I think, to learn about what's happening with corporate engagement this way is through a volunteer council in the area. And I know I'm going to ask you what that is, but I just want to give you the answers to our pre-show poll, which were, I asked, do you have a corporate volunteer council in your area? yes or no, and then the third answer was what everyone chose. I better listen to the show because I don't know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
So, Deschelle, what is a corporate volunteer council?
Well, the councils really were set up through a lot of the work that companies were doing in partnership with the Points of Light Institute, which I'm sure many of your listeners know, merged a while back with Hands-On Network. And essentially, these are coalitions where companies are paying a membership to be a part of a conglomerate of their peers who want to get together and talk about best practices, think about ways that they can be more strategic and support and also champion corporate volunteerism and just support other civic activities. And the way in which a nonprofit can be useful to a council like that is really to keep those members informed about what's going on in the community and how they could use volunteers, helping maybe even to offer insight and suggestions on how they might work better in particular cause areas that are important to that community.
How could a nonprofit find out if there is such a council in their community?
The best way to find out is to leverage the information that would be available on the Hands-On Network website. And if you go through there, there's actually a link that shows you where the corporate volunteer councils are.
Okay. And what about local chambers of commerce? Could they be a good way of engaging with the corporate community?
Yeah, I think what would be useful in terms of the chambers is that there are many events that are open to the public where corporations are actively involved and are sponsoring those events. And so if, local nonprofits are looking for ways to network with company corporate executives, then those are really great programs that happen on a regular basis where you can just get out and network, because sometimes it's really about a matter of having that relationship that will help you to open doors to opportunities that may be in companies, whether they're big or small. And that's a great resource to use as well.
Okay. So we have the Hands-On Network, the local chambers of commerce. Are there any other web-based resources for matching companies with nonprofits?
Yeah, there's a lot of great resources online, and a couple that I would recommend is volunteermatch.org. You can go there and see what kind of activities are available. Idealist.org is another option. There's a couple others. I would look at serve.gov, which also has a number of initiatives that they've sponsored with companies. And the other is All for Good. And the thing to keep in mind that nonprofits should understand is that a lot of these websites are populated into management systems that the corporations will use to help provide a sort of gateway for their employees to learn about volunteer opportunities. So nonprofits that are listening to your shows should definitely check out these sites and think about posting the opportunities that they have available, whether that's for general volunteering or something more significant like the skills base that we discussed earlier.
Then after the charity has identified the companies based on mission match or just locality or where employees are based from that company, how do you then approach? How do you start your solicitation?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and every company is going to be a little bit different, and I would love to say that there's like an easy magic bullet to getting that, but sometimes if they're a retail-based company, it might be going into that local store and approaching the manager there. I know that's applicable for a lot of places like a Target or a Kroger or a Walmart for that sake. The other is that a lot of local areas will have what they call internal volunteer committees. And so hopefully there's information that might be on the website that will help you figure out how to contact someone on that committee, and then they would then in turn bring the opportunities in-house. The other thing that your listeners could consider is that many companies offer what they call days of service, and assuming that there is an opportunity or a match between what the company wants to do and the mission of the nonprofit, then there may be a way to submit information that would perhaps make them eligible to be considered for a day or week or a month of service activity that a company would host.
And if in the first example you gave, just really walking into a local store, a Target or something similar, or just maybe something that is, like you said earlier, mom and pop, it may be an easier ask, a solicitation, because you're not asking for money, which probably a lot of nonprofits are doing, but you're asking for sharing of expertise.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's certainly an equally important ask, and what's relevant for the nonprofit is to make sure when they are prepared to go in front of the company, as I mentioned before, that they've done their homework, they really understand what the goals and objectives of the company is, but also that they've clearly defined what it is they're looking for and having corporate volunteers activate, because that is one of those tension points that a lot of companies experience, but also making sure that the nonprofit has given sufficient lead time to help develop and shape what the project might be, so both entities can be successful in the process.
My guest is Deshelle Dorsey, and she's a Senior Managing Director for Corporate Social Engagement at Changing Our World, a fundraising consulting company, and we're talking about engaging corporate employees. All right, so Deshelle, we've identified, you know, how to pick the right companies to approach and how to start that approach. Let's talk about, in detail, some of the ways that we can actually get company employees involved. Board service is probably one of the easiest ones and most commonly understood, right?
Yes, absolutely. And really what you're looking for here is your board has a responsibility with the nonprofit to really govern and make sure that the mission is being met. And you may have particular needs, whether that's around finance, whether that's around organizational development, or maybe you just need someone that has a really good network and you want an opportunity to kind of broaden your donor base. Certainly, you don't want to be abusing your board members in that way, but most board members and really savvy ones understand that when they come to a nonprofit, part of their responsibility is to help with fundraising. And so that is a definite opportunity that can be pursued with the nonprofit.
And we've had plenty of guests on the show that have talked about what's appropriate in board engagement in terms of fundraising and friend raising and other things. Mm-hmm. So that's why, and I think board service is probably the first thing that comes to mind when we think about engaging corporate employees. But for maybe the smaller company that, or the bigger company that doesn't have people to devote to that kind of time commitment, there are lesser ways, smaller time commitment ways, but still valuable ways that companies can share their employees' expertise.
Absolutely. And you see this manifesting in a couple of ways. Sometimes a company may offer just time with some of their middle manager or senior executives to do mentoring and coaching with nonprofit executives. And we've seen that great work come to fruition through a leadership development program that a company like American Express has. In other instances, you could have your executives loaned out to a nonprofit for a duration of time. And this is called what we say is loaned executives. And you may say, you know what, we really would like to help have someone on board to help us transition through this change. Our CEO has left the nonprofit, and now we really want to have someone in either to mentor that person or to help facilitate the organization moving in another direction. A loan executive could come in and be with you for a year, maybe 2 years, and they're, you know, essentially lent out from the company to this nonprofit. And then you...
Oh, so wait. Okay, so let me stop you, Deshelle. So for a period of a year or two, the companies are willing to pay the salary of the executive and have them work in the nonprofit day in, day out?
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes they're shorter durations. Obviously, that's a huge commitment, but this is really designed for individuals who are emerging leaders, because the companies could see it as a development opportunity. But also, this is a good way for nonprofits to think about engaging retirees, people who are leaving the workforce full-time, and they're still looking to be actively engaged, and the company might help to facilitate that person being part of the nonprofit.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, please, go ahead, continue.
And I was just going to say the other is obviously the skills-based, and again, that is really focused on a very specific and concentrated project for a shorter period of time. Typically, it wouldn't necessarily take a whole year, but in that instance, you might get a whole team of people that are coming in. Let's say you want to revamp your IT system, for example. Those individuals will come in and work with you on a regular basis. It's almost like having a consultant team come in, but what you've done is in exchange for having to pay a fee for that, you're actually getting the company to lend those skills for you.
So like the employees are sort of taking a sabbatical, maybe for a couple of months or something like that, to do a discrete project like that?
It can be a formal sabbatical, as in they're taking full time off, but in most cases, it's really that they are dedicating some portion of their work week to being with the nonprofit and helping them over a duration of time. So it could be they're dedicating a day or two a week to that nonprofit, and they're still working their full-time job, but they're sort of set aside this time to do this pro bono project. Or maybe they're just doing it after hours. They're doing it on some of their free time as well and facilitating that. But the goal is you've created a really concrete project for this team of employees to work on, and they're going to support you for whatever duration of time is necessary to complete that project.
Okay, excellent. And then maybe something a little less formal, but suppose a nonprofit just feels they could use a little expertise, just like a couple of hours a week in a certain area. Maybe it's communications or marketing, or, I mean, it could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine that kind of lesser commitment is possible too, right?
Yeah, and I think a lot of companies would still see that as part of a way that they could lend the skills of their employees there to a nonprofit and helping to support their, you know, growth and development. And it really will depend just what the company is willing to do. Skills base is a new area of growth for companies, so many are learning and figuring out how to set these up and how to work appropriately with nonprofits. And the time frame can sort of be negotiated depending on the relationship you have with that particular company.
Yeah. Okay, so these are excellent avenues that I think a lot of nonprofits don't think of. I think they just think of the corporate sponsorship,
mm-hmm.
and many I think stop there.
Yeah.
So these are excellent ideas. Thank you. I want to spend a little time on employee giving, just in the couple of minutes that we have left. And I was monitoring the small nonprofit chat on Twitter, and that hashtag is SMNPChat. It's run by Pamela Groh and Mark Pittman. And they were talking today about employee giving in terms of monthly giving. And I wanted to share something that came from there, from that chat, that small nonprofit chat, that the most common gift is roughly about $10 per pay period. And that came from someone named at Philanthropy Inc. Deshelle, is that about what you see? Is that sort of an average gift, $10 per pay period?
Yeah, when you have companies who are engaged in what we often call federated campaigns, the most common one being United Way,
mm-hmm.
you will have employees who make a commitment to pledge some dollar amount and take a small portion of that out of their paychecks over an extended period of time, and that just makes it easier for the donor to be able to make that contribution instead of having to, you know, in some ways write a big check all at once. But yeah, about $10 is probably right, and I would imagine, you know, with the recession, it'll probably stay at about that level, just as people are, you know, sort of getting back on their feet.
Okay. And the advice for soliciting that type of a gift from your prospects, there was a sort of a consensus on the small nonprofit chat, and it was summarized by at Pamela Groh, that it's best to do a dedicated appeal to the audience, a dedicated appeal for monthly sustaining gifts, rather than make it part of a broader appeal. What's your sense of that?
Yeah, no, I think that is absolutely fair. And the reason that that's important for nonprofits to understand is because individuals really want to have a better sense in a transparent way of what their individual dollar is going to do. So if you're offering the donor the opportunity to say, I'm going to invest my resources and I know whatever dollar amount I give is really going to go to help support this local tutoring program that's in my community, that's a little bit different and is a lot more tangible, and they can see the value of their contribution more directly. A lot of nonprofits have done a really great job of saying, if you donate X number of dollars, it translates into, you know, this many hours of tutoring, for example. That makes a donor feel really good, and they can communicate even and share the passion and enthusiasm they have about working with your organization.
Mm-hmm.
They can tie it to something tangible.
And there also seem to be a sense that the donors often increase their monthly giving.
Yeah, I think as the donor comes to know your organization much better, has a better appreciation for what you're trying to accomplish, and also that the nonprofit has taken the initiative to engage the donor beyond the gift, so whether that's inviting them to special events, if that's applicable, or, you know, communicating with them through a newsletter and some of the online platforms that we have now, the donor's affinity will certainly increase, and as a result of that, they're likely to consider giving a greater gift.
My guest has been Deshelle Dorsey, Senior Managing Director for Corporate Social Engagement at Changing Our World. Deshelle, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's been a real pleasure. And I also want to thank everybody who was on the small nonprofit chat run by at Pamela Groh and at Mark A. Pittman today. We try to join those small nonprofit chats when we can and when the topics are consistent across their chat and my show. After this break, it'll be Tony's Take Two, and then I'll be with Maria Semple, and we'll talk about proactive versus reactive prospect research. So stay with me.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you feeling overwhelmed in the current chaos of our changing times? A deeper understanding of authentic astrology can uncover solutions in every area of life. After all, metaphysics is just quantum physics, poetically expressed. I am Montgomery Taylor, and I offer lectures, seminars, and private consultations. For more information, contact me at Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at rljmedia.com.
Are you concerned about the future of your business or career? Would you like it all to just be better? Well, the way to do that is through better communication. And the best way to do that is training from the team at Improving Communications. This is Larry Sharp, host of the Ivory Tower Radio Program and director at Improving Communications. Does your office need better leadership, customer service, sales, or maybe better writing or speaking skills? Could they be better at dealing with confrontation, conflicts, and touchy subjects? All are covered here at Improving Communications. If you're in the New York City area, stop by one of our public classes or get your human resources in touch with us. The website is improvingcommunications.com. That's improvingcommunications.com. Improve your professional environment. Be more effective. Be happier and make more money. Improving Communications. That's the answer.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Welcome back to the show. It's time for Tony's Take Two, which is always roughly 32 minutes after the hour. My blog post this week is, I'll pick your brain and drop your list. That comes from something that's happened pretty recently, past couple months, I guess, where I helped out two people with fundraising advice for one, and then the other was arranging a fundraising internship with a former client for a second person. And then they unsubscribed from my email list, unsubscribed. And, you know, I thought, I mean, it's not really a huge deal. Let's face it, there are much bigger things to concern ourselves with than whether somebody is getting our weekly emails. But I just thought, you know, that seemed kind of ungrateful after I had helped them both with pretty substantial time commitments, like maybe it's an hour and a half for each of them, if you put it all together. And then they unsubscribed. So was I being unreasonable? I don't know. I mean, I certainly don't help people with a quid pro quo in mind. I'm never looking for, you know, I helped you, so now what are you going to do for me in the next 6 weeks or ever? But it just seemed a little weird to me, actually. So I wondered if I'm being unreasonable or hypersensitive. And so that's what I asked in the blog post. And I got a bunch of comments. And I'd appreciate your opinion of that, or maybe another story. Maybe you've got something similar. I'm interested in your take on that whole subject. And that's my blog post this week, which you'll find at mpgadv.com. And that is Tony's Take Two for Friday, September 30th. With me now is Maria Semple. Hi, Maria. Maria Semple is the prospect finder
Yes, and hi, Tony.
Hi, Maria. Would you put me on hold?
No, I had you on mute at my end, so you wouldn't hear me making noise.
Oh, well, that's all right. So I'm glad we didn't hear those odd noises, but then you unmuted. Okay. Maria Semple is the Prospect Finder. You'll find her at theprospectfinder.com. And we're talking this week with our regular Prospect Research contributor about proactive versus reactive research. Maria, what is reactive research?
Okay, so reactive research is when a nonprofit organization has the name of an individual, say that they know they're going to approach, and then they decide, well, what I'd like to do is research that individual a little bit more before I make an approach to them and then ask them for a gift. So that would be a known individual, and you're going to be looking for information on them, okay? So that would be reactive research. You already have the name of someone, and you want to just find out more information on them.
Okay. And what is proactive then?
So proactive research is when a nonprofit, perhaps their staff and or their development committee, is sitting around saying, gee, you know, we feel like we've exhausted all of our current donor base. And we need to think about looking outside of our current donor base and trying to identify some more individuals who can donate to us, either individuals, foundations, corporations, whatever the category is, but they want to broaden their base of support. So they proactively go out and try and find additional people who might be interested in their cause because they might be donating to other similar interests elsewhere.
Okay, and we'll find out how to uncover those additional people. In the pre-show survey, I asked which best describes your prospect research in your shop. Is it mostly proactive or mostly reactive? And everyone said that they are mostly reactive, just researching the people that they already know. So let's try to encourage people perhaps to be a little more proactive. But if you're a small shop, maybe that's not really possible.
Right. Well, the thing is this, Tony, you have opportunities. There are going to be sort of natural lulls for any staff of a nonprofit, whatever the size is. So you want to take advantage of perhaps those known lull periods for you when you're not really ramping up for an event, for example, when you have the opportunity to perhaps sit back and take a look at the big picture, you know, and say, all right, what else can we be doing to look for additional donors for our nonprofit? So it definitely can be done, but what I would say is they should build it in and put it on the calendar.
You mean put it on
the calendar like they would put on a calendar an event, a cultivation event, or any other type of event they might be having. Make sure that they build in some time to be able to sit back and proactively think about how to expand their donor base.
Okay. So actually, yeah, so calendaring time for prospect research, that's what you mean?
Yeah, to proactively be able to do it. Because the reactive research, even if they're just going to Google and no further, they're probably at least doing that, right? So they have a meeting with somebody or a company, and I would hope that they are at minimum looking at Google to find out some more information prior to that business meeting.
Mm-hmm. And then if you are limited to the reactive research, you can certainly go beyond Google looking at the names that you already know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of free websites as well as fee-based. I actually have a Going Beyond Google free download document right on my website on the resources page, so that's free for the taking and there and available. So there are definitely resources that can help you, and if you're not able to look at your database and trying to determine who to research in the database, then there are companies that will screen it for you so that the names can be elevated.
Okay, but those are always fee-based services, right?
That is a fee-based service, yes.
Right. Okay. What might you be looking for within your own data, if you are going to do this on your own, to determine who you should be paying more attention to?
What I think they can do is take a look at the longevity, how long the donor has been contributing to them. Even if it has been a very consistent amount of dollars over a long period of time. And, you know, long period of time varies, you know, for the nonprofit. But I would say if somebody's been giving to you for a 10-year period and they're consistent about it, the check seems to come in every year at the same time, that's somebody who's made a commitment to your nonprofit and you are somewhere in their sphere of philanthropy. So longevity of gift, size of gifts matters. And also, if somebody just happens to send you a check for an amount that is way out of the range of their normal giving, that's a flag as well for you to think about researching them a little further and cultivate that relationship.
Okay, and this is all with an eye toward perhaps elevating their giving, is that right?
Yes, that's right. You want to take a look at doing this type of research so that you are taking people that are currently tied into you in some way, shape, or form. They've bought into your mission. They love your nonprofit. They're committed to you. You want to think about how to engage them further and elevate their giving.
Okay. And you identify that commitment, as you were describing, based on their giving history.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, let's not forget people who are longtime volunteers for the organization, because there are people who, unfortunately, have the mindset of, well, I give my time to your organization, therefore I don't need to give my money, and they may be giving their money elsewhere. So it might be kind of interesting to take a look at some of those very, very committed volunteers who are giving of their time but not money, and researching, well, what are they doing in the community in terms of money, and is there some way we could further the conversation so that we can be included in their monetary philanthropy and not just giving of their time.
It occurs to me that the research we do when we're looking for planned giving prospects is all reactive, because you can't bring someone new to the organization and then expect them to be a planned giving prospect and asking them to include the organization in their will or some other estate plan when they're just brand new to the organization. So we're always doing, I never described it in this way, but looking for planned giving prospects, we're always doing reactive research.
That's right. You're always reactively taking a look at people committed to the nonprofit, and you're probably looking for all those same signs that I would be looking for, you know, mm-hmm. that longevity of gifts, size of gifts. Again, just looking to elevate them to perhaps a larger gift, or as you just mentioned, maybe they are absolutely ripe for a planned gift at this time, or at least to be thinking about that conversation.
And the key thing about the looking for those planned giving prospects is when you're looking at the donor's longevity, as you were describing, Maria, the consistency of giving, you don't want to ignore the smaller gifts. Even if someone's been giving $10 a year, and if they've been doing that for a decade or more, or, you know, 7 out of the past 10 years, or 15 or 18 out of the past 20 years, that just makes them a great planned giving prospect.
I think it could make an excellent planned giving prospect. Yes, absolutely. You know, and as I mentioned, there are just some very inexpensive free resources that you can go to just find out a little bit more about that prospect, just to see if you can elevate that conversation to that point.
And so let's then now go beyond the reactive into the proactive. So hopefully this is a smaller nonprofit that finds its slow time and sets time aside for prospect research, or it's a bigger shop and they have the resources to do more proactive, going outside the database research. How would they get started?
I think one of the things that they can do is take a look at the other nonprofits in the community who might be garnering some of the larger gifts, especially if that nonprofit is somewhat similarly related in mission to you. So as an example, if you have a women's health and counseling center and they are interested in expanding their donor base, they might take a look at who's giving to the local cancer societies, the local heart association, the local hospital, anything having to do with that health-related mission.
Okay, Maria, we have to take a break. We're going to continue this exact topic about carrying on your proactive research with Maria Semple, our regular prospect research contributor, after this break. So stay with us.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
This is Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Technology, fundraising, compliance, social media. Small and medium nonprofits have needs in all these areas. My guests are expert in all these areas and more. Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern on Talking Alternative Broadcasting.
Do you want to enhance your company's web presence with an eye-catching and unique website design? Would you like to incorporate professional video marketing or mobile marketing into your organization's marketing campaign? Mission 101 Media offers a unique marketing experience that will set you apart from your competitors, magnify your brand exposure, and enhance your current marketing efforts. Their services include video production and editing, web design, graphic design, photography, social media management, and now introducing mobile marketing. Their motto is, we do whatever it takes to make our clients happy. Contact them today at mission101media.com.
TalkingAlternative.com.
If you have big ideas and an average budget, tune in to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. We do.
I'm Jonah Halper.
And Ari Tiemann.
Co-founders of Next Gen Charity.
Welcome back. We're live tweeting. Use the hashtag Nonprofit Radio. I want to thank Fundraiser Beth and at Fundraiser Beth and at Dominique D. Jones for... joining us on the live Twitter chat. I'm with Maria Semple, and she is our regular prospect research contributor. We're talking about doing proactive versus reactive research. So, Maria, let's just continue in going proactive, trying to find people outside your database and acquire new donors. Your advice is, right before the break, was to look for nonprofits that are maybe similar in mission and see who's giving there.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, during the break, I was also thinking about another excellent free tool that we all have available to us is LinkedIn. And there, for example, you might be able to find people who are interested and easily connected to, okay, for explaining to them what your organization is about and so on and so forth.
And you
so
and I talked about...
Let's say you're interested in, you're an animal welfare nonprofit, and you would like to connect with more people in your community who are interested in animals and pets, et cetera. So you can go and do a keyword search on the advanced search page of LinkedIn, log into your account, go to the advanced search page, and find groups, right, that have an interest in animals, and you'll find quite a number of them. So there'll be people from all walks of life who are keenly interested in animals. You can also go to the keyword field and look for people in a specific geographic region who might have the word animal somewhere in their profile listed. So, you know, something like that can be very, very helpful in expanding your donor database or your volunteer or board base. And, again, it's free.
Mm-hmm. And I love that level of detail. Thank you very much. That's, I think, most helpful to listeners. Another way of finding out who gives to organizations is just by getting their annual report.
Yes, absolutely. And sometimes those annual reports are available right online in a PDF downloadable format. So you can take a look at those annual reports and try and determine who's giving. You're not going to get an exact dollar level, you know, as most annual reports might list somebody giving at the silver, bronze, gold level, platinum, etc. But you'll have at least an idea of the range of where somebody is giving. So definitely I look at annual reports of nonprofits, whether I'm doing reactive research or proactive research. So absolutely it can be useful in both cases.
And if it's not available on the web, you can always just contact a nonprofit and ask them to mail you a printed copy, right?
Yes, that's right. Go old school.
Old school. Just like the phone. So jejun. Old mail, phone. We don't need these things. Dispense with this. I don't believe that. No, I'm just joking. So there are also some online resources that you like.
There are several fee-based resources that I like using for proactive research. Would you like me to mention a few of them?
Yeah, please. Yeah. Detail.
So,
definitely.
One such resource might be Wealth Engine. They actually have a prospect generator tool that you can utilize with their particular service. I like iwave.com, iwave.com. They also have the capacity to do some proactive research. They have donor lists, for example, where you can put in the name of a specific nonprofit or type of nonprofit, and lists of donors who give to those nonprofits will be generated for you. And you know, you would have to parse the data so that it's suitable to your particular geography. But you know, it's definitely doable. News resources, and that's something you can do for free. You can go to your library website and log in using your library barcode. You know, we've talked about that before.
Yep, on a previous show, using the local library, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can tap into local news or statewide news resources for free through your library link, and then be able to do some research on people who are, you know, named as the who's who in the community, people being honored, things of that nature, and perhaps find more people who are interested in your organization in that way.
The newspaper. It's like the U.S. mail and the phone. These things still exist. Yes.
Yes, they do.
And they're not expensive.
Enormous.
Use them for Pete's sake. I mean, they're so, you know, it's, I don't know. They're so underthought of is what I'm trying to think of. What about, there can even be local foundations, right? In a community, maybe local family foundations or something?
Yeah, so what you might want to consider doing is every nonprofit organization has the capacity to search a source called GuideStar, and they can search on their advanced search level actually for free, Tony,
okay.
Which is a $1,000 level of service. But nonprofits can search it for free if they agree to maintain their own nonprofit data, which is a win-win all around, right? So you're getting a better story about your own nonprofit, and then you also have access to their premium level of search
and
functionality.
You and I talked about that.
In doing that, what you would hopefully do is go in and identify more family foundations in your geographic community, okay? So you put in a zip code. You can go out, I believe, about 100-mile radius from your zip code. Search for those family foundations. These are people that have decided they're going to take philanthropy to a new level, and they're getting serious about it, and they have decided that they're going to form a family foundation to filter their giving. Those are excellent prospects to go after proactively researching.
And
what I usually suggest to a nonprofit, once you have that list, let's say you identify 100 new family foundations in your community that you serve that you didn't realize existed, take a look at the trustees of that foundation. Circulate the names of those trustees with your board, with your key volunteers. See if anybody has a connection to any of those people, trying to make it more of a warm introduction as opposed to a cold introduction.
Marie, we have just a minute left before we have to stop. What about business resources, like business publications or the chambers of commerce?
Chambers of Commerce are excellent. Most of them will have their membership directory searchable online. Also, again, through your library link, you can find businesses tailoring your search on a resource called Reference USA. You'll be able to find businesses and business owners through that particular resource. So I think those could be excellent sources. And not every business is doing terribly these days, so try and take a look at what is doing well and focus your efforts there.
Great detail. Thank you very much, Maria.
You're welcome.
Maria Semple is the Prospect Finder. You'll find her at theprospectfinder.com. She's our regular monthly prospect research contributor. She's also the author of Panning for Gold, Find Your Best Donor Prospects Now. It's been a pleasure having Maria on, and I also want to thank Deshelle Dorsey from Changing Our World for being a guest today. Next week, I don't know. It's going to be a show from the archives. I haven't chosen it yet, but there's a way that you can find out. You don't have to wait until next Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern when the show starts. You can sign up for our show alerts, and you can do that on our Facebook page. You know where Facebook is. Then just search the name of this show, and there's a link there to get our weekly insider email alerts. If you like the show, while you're on the Facebook page, click that like button and become a fan. You can listen live or archive. You've been listening live. If you care to listen archive, then you can hear us on iTunes. You can subscribe, listen anytime on your computer, smartphone, whatever listening device you prefer. Not those Zhejun phones and email or phones and U.S. mail. This is cutting edge on iTunes, and you'll find our iTunes page at nonprofitradio.net. I think I said Zhejun three times today. That's overkill. Yeah, no, that's not no. It's someone here in the studio. The janitor's telling me it's jargon jail. It's not jargon. Everybody knows Zhejun. It's common knowledge what Zhejun means. That's five times I've used it today. Zhejun, six. On Twitter, you can follow me. You can follow me, and you can follow our hashtag. Use it wildly. The hashtag is nonprofit radio. Hashtag nonprofit radio. The creative producer of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio is Claire Meyerhoff. And our line producer and the owner of Talking Alternative Broadcasting is Sam Leibowitz. Our social media is by Regina Walton of Organic Social Media. This is Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Hope you'll be with me next Friday, 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll always find us at Talking Alternative Broadcasting, and that is always found at talkingalternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Looking to meet Mr. or Mrs. Right, but still haven't found the one? Want to make your current relationship as fulfilling as possible? Then please tune in on Mondays at 10 a.m. for Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison. As a professional matchmaker, I've seen it all. Tune in as we discuss dating, relationships, and more. Start your week off right with Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison on TalkingAlternative.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Are you fed up with talking points rhetoric? Every way you turn, it's left or right spin, ideology, no reality. In fact, it's ideology over intellect. No more. It's time for the truth. Join me, Larry Sharp, a.k.a. The Neo-Sage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11 Eastern, for the Ivory Tower radio program. In the Ivory Tower, we'll discuss what's important to you, society, politics, business, and family. It's provocative talk for the realist and the skeptic who want to know what's really going on, what does it mean, and what can be done about it. So gain special access to the Ivory Tower and listen to me, Larry Sharp, your Neo-Sage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11, New York time. Go to ivorytowerradio.com for details. That's ivorytowerradio.com. The Ivory Tower is a great place to visit for both entertainment and education. Listen in, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11. It will make you smarter.
Do you want to enhance your company's web presence with an eye-catching and unique website design? Would you like to incorporate professional video marketing or mobile marketing into your organization's marketing campaign? Mission 101 Media offers a unique marketing experience that will set you apart from your competitors, magnify your brand exposure, and enhance your current marketing efforts. Their services include video production and editing, web design, graphic design, photography, social media management, and now introducing mobile marketing. Their motto is, we do whatever it takes to make our clients happy. Contact them today at mission101media.com.
TalkingAlternative.com.